Hello and welcome to another edition of Editing Aloud. And we have a packed show today, partly triggered, I suppose, Lukhanyo Mnyanda, by the departure, the resignation yesterday of Home Affairs Minister Melusi Gigaba. Business Day, you guys are quoting, or you guys are saying that it's going to likely lead to a cabinet reshuffle. Other people don't think so.
I mean, it's the voice that people will be hearing from people out there. I mean, it might be an opportunity for the president, but there's also like a view that says, obviously, with elections coming up in about 6 months' time, maybe this might not be a good time for the president to make enemies and reshuffle people.
You'd have to replace Gigaba, though, wouldn't you? I mean, he's got to find somebody to do that.
You have to do that. I mean, at the moment, we've got the Blade doing that job as temporarily as
on top of his other job. It's not ideal.
I mean, and it's a key job, you know. That, I mean, how many times have we sat here and talked about Home Affairs and the visa restrictions? Yeah. And I mean, it's a key part of Ramaphosa's job summit promises is to review that whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't really sit around not have a minister in charge.
I mean, would you, Sukhanati, regard Home Affairs as being sort of part of a security cluster in government or part of an economic cluster?
It is actually part of both. More economic cluster. Remember, this Home Affairs is in charge of all the ports of entry. Our goods move through Transnet's port in Durban and the airports. Those are all under the control of Home Affairs. So these are hundreds of billions of rands and goods that move through that department. So it's very much part of the economic cluster. Of course, it is indeed part of the security cluster as well. But I would regard it as more economic than security.
Yeah. And Ron, there was an idea that Gigaba had at one stage where he was going to launch a new sort of force, like a border unit. He was going to collect taxes, in fact. What happened to that?
I mean, I think what Gigaba's whole purpose then was to show, I guess, that he got some planning, but nothing came of it. It was another idea that he threw up there to show that he's thinking ahead, but again, nothing came of it.
Like, well, it would have robbed SARS.
It was also a thing with clash with SARS and with Treasury. Yeah. But I think Treasury was the key thing that this couldn't work given what happened after SARS. But one of those Gigaba ideas, and there's been quite a few of those that haven't come to fruition.
That's
and
true.
Stuff like that with
Patrick,
him.
is he politically a big loss? Or now that he's gone, is he a threat?
Well, I think he's a young guy, he's a bright guy, he's clearly connected, he clearly knows what he's doing. I would think in resigning, he's taken, I think, quite a clever sort of step. Obviously, he hasn't got the shame of sort of having been fired. He's resigned off his own bat. As we speak, he's kind of rocketing up the ANC election lists. Mm. And I think Cyril, if he is the man after the next election, will find it quite difficult to look past Gigaba when it comes to cabinet appointments. So I think his resigning, in an odd kind of way, has strengthened him and put him in. I mean, he's going to be high up on the lists.
Okay. Well.
For what reason? There might be a variety of different sort of reasons prompting that, but clearly his allies and his backers told him yesterday, look, this is your way back. You resign with whatever grace remains. You get on the list, you get high up on the lists, and what president will be able to overlook man in the sort of top...
At the next elective conference.
Top 20 on...
I also remember in the last list, he was actually number 5.
Yeah.
So he wasn't actually that...
Sure. I mean, so do you think... Ron, I'll come back to you now. Sekanati, I mean, do you agree with Patrick?
I agree totally. In terms of the internal processes of the African National Congress, it will compile the list of people going into parliament. He will be definitely at the close to the top there, because as you know, ANC actually cares nothing about the rule of law and the ethics and everything like that. This is then, of course, there will be pressure after the 2019 election on the president to put him in cabinet, but that will not happen if that president is still Ramaphosa. He has won. There's just two things. So he's challenging the public protector's finding now. He may or may not win there, but he's not going to challenge the Constitutional Court decision that he's actually a liar, lied under oath. So he now knows that you can lie to everybody, but you can't lie to a judge under oath. And quite frankly, what brings he home? What is it that he will be bringing if he comes back into cabinet? We do, of course, have had presidents of very popular people. One, Tony Yengeni, of course, he was found guilty and jailed, which yeah. then excluded him from making it back to parliament. But that's where he is. And until Malusi Gigaba wins the presidency of the ANC, give it 2025 or whatever, after the two terms of Ramaphosa, until he wins the presidency and then he does what Zuma did to kill the constitution in order for him to rise. That's his only way back
into
the executive.
He remains, he's still a member of the NEC, is he, Ron?
I mean, no, he's still a member of the NEC.
No, the NEC of the ANC.
Yeah, oh, he still is. I mean, I think one thing I'd say with Patrick, this idea that Gigaba was a smart politician, I don't think he's a smart politician. He wouldn't find himself where he is right now. He's always clearly the smartest guy in the room, which tells you about the room that the company keeps. But, you know,
let's be frank. There's absolutely no evidence that he's a smart guy.
He hasn't shown us much. I mean, he's risen. He's always been considered like an Mbeki light character, but he hasn't shown anything to anyone, right, in his career run. So he may be an MP, but I guess with him, it's for the next 5 years, till 2023, how he emerges at the next election.
His departing statement was quite classy, I thought. I mean, it was, Peter, I don't have it in front of me now.
But you remember the last week before he quit, how he was fighting his quit.
Yeah, but clearly what happened was he went to go and see the president at the president's house on Friday. Mm. Ramaphosa would have done him a huge favor and said, look, I'm going to fire you, but you've got 6 days to resign.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a political favor.
Yeah, he could have done one thing and done the Zuma thing where he say, you know, fire me, you know, Zuma with Mbeki, Allah Zuma Mbeki, but that would have been terrible for him. He has 5 years to go and rally the supposed new young grouping, that's Zondile Masina and the rest, and rally some strength. That 2023 is when we'll see Gigaba's hand again properly. And by then, hopefully he's built himself enough of
Does he sort of now end up standing next to Jacob Zuma at all of Jacob Zuma's court appearances, or does he keep away from all of
them? If he's smart, I mean, the thing is, he's burnt bridges with Zuma already.
Yeah, he has a bit.
He has burnt their bridges. Yeah. If he goes back to Zuma, it'll just show that, look, this is why this guy's politics
Luke, there's no end of it. And you can see in the list of people up for the NPA job, there's no end of smart people that Cyril Ramaphosa can call on to do difficult jobs. As we were saying just now, I mean, he might just replace Gigaba at Home Affairs and not worry about a wider reshuffle. Who's he got, do you think, in your mind to reach out to who'd be helpful? Tito's not available any longer. Who would you fill Home Affairs with? It's a complex job.
Mm. I mean, it's a really big job. I mean, you guys know more about me, about who would do that.
Peter, the truth of the matter is replacing Malusi Gigaba would be the easiest thing you can ever do. You don't find... in fact, I totally disagree with the notion that he is smart. You cannot put smart and Malusi Gigaba in the same sentence if it is not separated by the word not. So... You find
smart people don't think much of Malusi Gigaba. That's a sentence. I mean,
you find there's a gentleman who's a technocrat, Mavuso Msimang, the DG who turned Home Affairs around.
Under Nkosazana.
He's an activist in the African National Congress. Yeah. Mm. He's totally well respected, ready, well respected,
not an affection,
not a populist,
not an affection.
He's not interested in political positions. Mm. If you want to turn this country around and make it work, put people that actually care nothing about politics.
Yeah.
He actually accepted that job as Director General after being annoyed at watching people at ports of entry in this country and others. People who were clearly not South Africans, traveling on the South African passport at that time, which got us kicked out of the British system of visa-free. He accepted that job when he was queuing at the airport in America, and he was queuing with Pakistanis who could not point South Africa in a map. Yeah. He went in there, turned around the whole system and digitized the environment. Home Affairs today is one of the best departments that Malusi Gigaba
I got an ID card the other day in 3 days.
Yeah. You want someone like Mavuso Msimang.
That's true. That's a good one.
To do that job. Yes. And Cyril Ramaphosa can look no further than that gentleman, and he is available. He's now in the civil activists that are trying to turn things around.
Maybe the Mboweni appointment could be a bit of a model, because obviously it's quite clear this is a stopgap appointment until the next election. I don't think, from what I gather, I don't think Mboweni's got any ambitions to stay in government for the next 10 years.
The way he behaves on Twitter tells you the ambition is not.
So maybe that's what you need. Yeah, somebody who can actually, because the things that need to be done now with Home Affairs, never mind the politics and the personalities. I mean, we keep talking about the small things, not small things, the small big things, like the visa regulations.
The problem with what Sikonati is suggesting, and there are lots of smart guys in that sort of a civil part outside of the ANC, but who grew up in the movement. They're old, you know, and so there's no. You want to get some sort of.
There's absolutely no shortage of bright people, and we are not talking about the Figile Mbalulas and them. We're not talking about that crowd of people who came in for the Gupta project, the Malusi Kigabas and them. Not now, not in 5 years, not in 10 years. If we want to move this country forward, you're going to look for professionals, people who really have ambition. Technocrats to do the job. Mavuso Msimanga is in his 70s, so he's not available for a very long time. He is also the guy that turned Sunparks around. So we are talking here about serious people, not...
No, he's a serious guy.
Not
I mean,
people
I
masquerading as statesmen.
I could say more. And in fact, you know, I mean, a couple of years, if you're in your mid-40s or early 50s, a couple of years running a big government department, well... Put you in line for great private sector work afterwards.
Well, that's the biggest challenge of Ramaphosa, is bringing back those people. They just stepped out of the ANC for the past 9 years or even longer. Getting them back into the ANC, first getting them to join branches. That's the saddest thing, is they haven't, not branch members anymore, but they were shouted out at the branches. So first and foremost, get them as branch members and then slowly bring them back into the party mix, if he's going to stabilize his government.
They don't
government,
even
right?
need but to be branch members.
Well, no, you need some standing in the ANC. You can't just come from nowhere.
Well, but this is the thing. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about bright young people, technocratic people, people who are not caught up in the factional battles, etc. But aren't we talking... as if the ANC sort of doesn't have the major say in all of this. I mean, what's the point of being kind of a young guy towing the party line, navigating the factions in the ANC, if the president just picks some bright technocrat who's never bothered with it? I mean, I wish he would do that.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the balancing act.
Maybe the lesson of that, Patrick, is to stop bothering, you know, with trying to wind your way. Politically, through what has just become a sort of a sludge, really.
Sikonati makes a point. I mean, the idea that these government jobs are there as a reward for going to branch meetings. I mean, you should be picking people who know what they're doing. You're picking a guy to be finance minister or the woman to be finance minister because they're the most qualified person to do the job.
A balancing act, though.
You can't just take someone who doesn't have a point.
You can't just take you with no agency that puts
you.
They need that.
The fact of the matter, and this is one thing we must acknowledge. The fact of the matter, any president of the ANC and country who ignores. As we're discussing now, who ignores the structures of the party is not going to last long in that job. So that Malusi Kigaba is now gone to rise again and fight. He's going to collar the members and go for it.
Thank you very much. We'll be back with you in just a minute.